a wonderful day it is to be able to assemble with the saints of God and to be able to sing praises to His name, to approach His throne in prayer together, and to remember that great sacrifice that was given for us upon the cross of Calvary. Think about how often it is that we're brought together into relationships with one another because of what Jesus has done for us. Relationships that mean so much to us. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to take them and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is writing to a church. He's writing to a church at Corinth who is involved in one of these relationships. They're in a relationship with one another because they've been born again. They've been brought into God's family by His love, His mercy, and His grace. They've been brought into this relationship with one another, but they're a spiritual body. But their spiritual body is not what it ought to be. A lot of things about the spiritual body are not closely to what it ought to be. As a matter of fact, he deals with a lot of things with this body, divisions, problems, struggles. And you know, I think it's bad to be a part of a place that would have these kinds of problems that Corinth has. I think how good it is to be a part, and I think at Market Street we have this, a part of a body of people who truly love one another and who feel for one another, care for one another, people who really trust in one another. Our spiritual body is about working toward a goal. But you know, Corinth, they didn't see that. They had forgotten that. As a matter of fact, they had all kinds of problems. And when you turn over to chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, and we read in verse 1, he says, "Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required that stewards, that a man be found faithful." The word there translated faithful, if you have the New American Standard Version, translates that word trustworthy. That we be found trustworthy. You know, I think about how it is that within our relationship, that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about entrusting ourselves to one another. And the reason why we entrust ourselves to one another and should entrust ourselves to one another is because we have entrusted ourselves to God. We have put ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and we're serving and we're living for Him. And so as we're living for Him, then we trust Him, then we come into this relationship with one another, and we trust one another. How oftentimes we see this with times in which we see people that go through trials and tribulations, turmoil, hardships, sickness. You know, the Bible talks about that. It talks about how we ought to bear with one another. Galatians chapter 6 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Oh yes, every man is to bear his own burden, yes. He's not to just say, "Well, you're supposed to bear my burden and you don't have to worry about it." No, you bear your own burden too. But we are to bear with one another. We are to be there for one another. And when Paul is writing, he's writing to these people, he says, stewards ought to be faithful, trustworthy. You know, there's challenges, though, to trusting each other. There's challenges that within a relationship like we have, like the church at Corinth had, there are challenges to that. There are challenges to trusting one another. And the reason why is because sometimes stewards are not trustworthy. They're not trustworthy. They're not people you can count on. They're not what they ought to be. And sometimes it's because maybe we have the wrong perspective. Maybe we are coming from the wrong side. And we're thinking things we ought not. Maybe we have things like this. We don't think they can be trusted because we think they're only thinking of themselves. You know, we need to trust those that are our elders. But you know, sometimes people may say, "Well, I don't know if you can trust the elders." Why? Well, they're just doing what they want done. Well, we need to trust the leaders. We need to trust our elders that they're doing the right thing. And you know, I'm thankful that we have elders at Market Street that I believe are doing the right thing for everybody. That they're not looking to just themselves. They're not looking to just a few, but they're looking at the body as a whole and trying to know what is best for the body as a whole. And they're making those decisions. And you know, when I'm coming and I'm asking and I'm talking to them and I'm going to get an idea from what the elders think, I think I can trust them. They're going to tell me what I need to know. It may not be what I want to know. They might tell me something. They may say, well, I'd rather not have heard that. But you know, I can trust them because they're trustworthy. When I think about the qualifications of elders, do we not see that in those qualifications of elders, that you're pointing these men, that that's the kind of character that all those qualifications really are pointing to, that they are trustworthy men? Yes. You know, it may be that we don't trust people because we say they've wronged me. Somebody has done something to me in the past. They've hurt my feelings. Whatever has been done. And I can't trust them because they've let me down. Well, that's true. People let you down. That's within relationships. We see that time and time again. We see people who've been wronged. And you know, at Corinth, that's what we see. They were seeing this very thing. What about over there? The sixth chapter, when they're going to law with one another. And he says, what? Why do you take one another to law? Why do you not just take the wrong? He says, no, you do wrong by defrauding one another and your brethren. You're not taking the wrong. What you ought to do is take the wrong. But no, you don't do that. You're going to law. You're going to have it your way to the end. You know, that's a problem with trusting one another. You know, another problem is that I can't let go. And that goes back to the same chapter in verse 7. They can't let go. They're not going to let go of it. They're going to push it to the end. And the other thing is we can't trust one another because we don't really care enough about the cause of Christ. You know, we're here and we're assembling together and I can't trust them because I'm not really connected to them. Because I'm not really worried about the cause of Christ. I'm not worried about how I can help one another. I'm not worried about how I can help others get to heaven. I'm not really focusing on that. No, I'm focusing on my job. I'm focusing on climbing the ladder. I'm focusing on other things. And so I'm not worried about other people's failures, other people's shortcomings, and how I might help them. I'm not worried about how I can bear one another. I'm not worried about that because I'm not worried about the cause of Christ. I'm here for myself. And I'm here and I'm worried about what I want. And so I'm thinking about what I like. As long as it's like I like it and I can get my seat and I can have the air conditioning like I want it and the lighting's like I want it and I can go through all these things, then I like it that way and I'll be here. But you let any of those things turn all wrong, somebody gets my seat, heaven forbid, and somebody doesn't speak to me, and somebody doesn't sing the song I like, or sings a song I don't like, all of a sudden I'm done. And so these are challenges. And these challenges are because we can't trust one another, and the challenges really are because of us. The challenges to our trusting one another is because of us. You know, within family relationships, we see this, and that's really what we have in the church, is a family relationship. You know, we trust one another. How does a child learn to trust its parents? Because the parents earn that trust. Parents take the baby, they take the baby from birth, they rear that baby, the child learns to trust them. They prove it. But you know, when I don't put myself into a congregation and I don't work with that congregation, I don't get among that congregation, I don't work among them, I don't prove myself to be trustworthy. People don't see me as trustworthy because they don't know me. And that's a failure. Or maybe I don't look to others and to know about others and to see how trustworthy they are because I'm focusing on myself. Those are real challenges. You know, and their consequences, when we think about trustworthy and trusting each other, they're consequences to the lack of trust in each other within the body of Christ. When there's not the kind of trust there ought to be, we're not able to accept the guidance that we ought to have. When we are in a congregation and we're among people of God and we're here, and what are we here for? Well, we're here to lift up one another. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to edify one another. You know, we do that. We do that by our worship. I mean, our worship is involved in edification and building one another up. Have you ever thought about what our worship does? We pray to God. And we petition God, and we let God know what's on our hearts and upon our minds. As Brother Russell this morning led our prayer, and we pour out our hearts. And at the end of that prayer, we can say amen. Or we used to could say amen. I don't know why we don't say amen at the end of a prayer anymore. The leader does, and everybody else sits quietly by, usually. Thank you. But that's what happened. We become disengaged to the whole process. And so that's what happens. And that's a consequence of a lack of trust. And so what we do is we fail to trust. And it affects us. It affects us being able to bear with one another. You know, when I think about this, I think about a passage over in James chapter 5. And it's a passage, I think, that really, really touches to the very point of trust. And it's a passage, I think, that we don't focus on nearly as much as we should. But just back with me in James chapter 5. Look with me in let's start in verse 13. He says, "Is any afflicted among you? Let him pray. Is any merry among you? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him." Now, I just want to stop and say, you know, this is where we have a problem with trust, and that is that when we don't have the trust like we ought to in one another, what we don't do is we don't call on one another when we need them. And he's saying, here's somebody who is sick, and you need prayer. What do? You call. You don't say, well, I'm not sure they want to come. I'm not sure, they might be a bother to them. They might have something going on. Well, you know what? They might. And you know, if they do, they do. But you know what? As soon as they don't have something going on, they'll be there. And you know what? They might be able to drop what they're doing and come anyway. But it's not going to change when you have trust in one another. It's not going to change the way you view Adam because somebody calls you and asks you to do something. When you trust one another, you're going to trust, and it's going to build that relationship. But oftentimes we say, well, I don't want to bother them with this. I've got a problem here, and I don't want to bother anybody with it. And so we don't do it. And maybe we don't have this prayer of faith. And maybe our sins are not being forgiven as they should. Verse 16, he goes on and says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Now, I won't tell you, this verse right here tells me about something that is a lack of trust will cause us not to have, and that is confessing our faults one to another. People don't come and ask forgiveness of those they've wronged. They're afraid to go to their brother who they have a problem with and talk to them about a problem that they have. They'd rather talk to everybody else about the problem instead of the brother or the sister they have the problem with. And that's because of a lack of trust. You see, when there's not a lack of trust, people will go to that person and they will take care of that. When they have sinned, when they have wronged somebody, they won't go to law with them. What will they do? They will go to them, one, they will correct the problem. If it can't be corrected there, they'll take one or two, that are two or three witnesses, every word may be said. And then they will go through the process to try to correct the wrong as best they can. That's when there's trust. When there's a lack of trust, I'm just going to continue like I am. I'm going to question the motives of every individual that tries to help me. And I'm changing my trust from God to man. And I don't think we see that. When I fail to trust one another, it's because I'm failing to trust God. Because you see, when I trust God and others trust God, and we're all here together trusting God, then who should we trust in this life? We ought to trust in one another. But when we don't do that, we are really losing our trust in God. And that's what it's about. And somebody says, well, that's just who I am. No, the problem is you having a lack of trust in God. You need to trust more in God. So there needs to be more faith. There needs to be more action in your life to proving your faith. When there's a lack of trust in each other, we become exclusionary. We become our exclusive group. We like it is. We don't trust each other, and we don't need anybody else in here meddling around with our group. So y'all stay out. You ever known churches like that? I'm afraid I have. I'm sad to say that. I'm afraid that's the case. We don't trust. We don't trust anybody. We don't need anybody else coming in here. We don't trust anymore. We need trust. Those are challenges. And really what we're not able to do is to accept the grace that's offered to us because of a lack of trust. So finally, what do we do? Well, we need to develop trust in each other. Finally, that's what we need to do. We need to be trustworthy people. We need to do the things that are necessary to produce trust, to develop trust. And so one thing I want to notice with you that you need to do as you're developing trust is you need to appreciate the differences. I know that that's not what we usually say, but you need to appreciate the differences. I think a lot of times what we do is we like to say, well, everybody needs to be alike. Well, that's right. We all need to be alike. We need to be of the same mind and the same judgment. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians, be of the same mind and the same judgment. But you know what? They were different. And when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, he is saying, you are different. You remember the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians? If not, turn over there. And what did he say? He says, what? We are all in one body, but we're many members. We're not all the same members. But we're of one body. He says in verse 15, the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were the hearing, where is the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. What is he saying? Appreciate the differences. You're not the eye. Okay, you're not the eye. But you're the body. You're not the hand. But you're still the body. We need to appreciate these differences. What the Corinth had is they didn't appreciate the differences. And that caused a lack of trust. The first part of chapter 12, that's what he's dealing with, all these differences in these spiritual gifts they had. And what he's telling them is you need to appreciate the differences. Don't expect them and me and my strength to be my strengths. Them and they and are not going to be me. And you know what? Together, we all make we. They, them, and me make we. And we need to see it that way. We are stronger because of our differences. We don't need to set people up for failure. And oftentimes that's what we do when we try to make people get into a mold. We try to fit people into a spot they don't belong because we think everybody's got to be the same. Everybody ain't got the same gift. Everybody's not going to be a Bible class teacher. I wish everybody could be, but everybody's not. That's not the gift everybody has. Everybody's not going to be a song leader. That's not the gift everybody has. Everybody's not going to be a person who can cook a meal to take to somebody because that's not the gift everybody has. Not everybody is going to be able to do everything that somebody else does. But you know what? Everyone has their gift, has what they can do, and they can use whatever they have in their abilities to use that to the strength and to the glory of the church. And building trust based on our differences. We need to see that. We need to appreciate that. We need to appreciate the support others give us. Oftentimes we don't think about that. Have you ever thought about what it is when a brother comes up to you or a sister comes up and gives you a hug? I do. I think about that a lot because I've been a lot of places when I have not received a handshake or have not received a hug. And you know, when I leave buildings and places like that, and I'm sitting there thinking, what are these people missing? What are they missing? I'm going to tell you, we need to develop that appreciation for affection that's shown. True brotherly love, being affectionate, kindly, one to another. You know, that's what we need. And you know, we need that. And when we do that, we develop trust with one another. We need to regard others as important as ourselves. You know, that's not what they did there in Corinth, was it? As a matter of fact, they didn't do that. As a matter of fact, they had this matter of these differences, and they did not see themselves as being as important or someone else being as important as they were. As a matter of fact, and if you're there still in chapter 12, look at chapter 13, where Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. It's not about what may happen to you, but I'm worried about what's happening to me in this regard. Where is my love? What I do is I look and I say, well, somebody's not loving like I'm loving. They're not loving as much as I am. Have you ever thought about the fact that somebody may be loving more than you are? We don't see it from that perspective, though, do we? See, we look at it from the other perspective. We're always looking at it, and we need to make sure that it's not about what may be happening to them, it's what's happening to me in this love matter. Allow others to make mistakes. You're going to develop trust with one another. You're going to have to allow others to make mistakes. You know, because we all make them. There's not a person sitting in this audience this morning that can sit here, I don't think, I'm going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm going to say, who in this room is not guilty of sin? Who in this room has never made a mistake? Now, I know some of these people may say, well, if you talk to my husband or my wife, No, we're not joking, we're serious. And you know what we bring people into the body and we think they have to just do exactly the way we want it done. They have to say it the way we say it. They got to do it the way we do it. And when they step out and they make a mistake and they do something wrong, we jump down their throat just as hard as we can. But what it says in verse 4 of chapter 13, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not itself. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. We are not in competition with one another. We are of one another. And we need to make sure we understand that. Who is better? Christ is better. That's the answer. Who's better than I? Christ is better. Who's better than I? You all are better than I. And then finally, we need to quit keeping track of wrongs. Brethren who've met together for years, have held grudges, have not let go of mistakes, have kept the track of these wrongs, and that is not the way it ought to be. Look with me, verse 5. Love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. What he's saying there is we are not going to keep record of wrongs. We are going to seek to build one another up. We are going to seek to build people up so that they can trust in us. And we're going to help them to grow. Because what is the goal? The goal is about going to heaven. The goal is not here. The goal is not now. The goal is trusting. Trusting in the Lord with all of your heart. Leaning not on your own understanding. And we know that. And when we know that, then we trust in the Lord. We know that He is there. The promise that He gave to us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, when He said, let your life be without covetousness, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. We can trust the Lord. And we do trust the Lord. And we lean on Him. And thereby, each one of us trusting the Lord and leaning on Him, then we can trust one another. And we ought to. Moreover, it is required that stewards be trustworthy. May God help us to that end. It may be that you're here this morning and you're not a member of the body of Christ. This morning, I would see nothing better this morning than for you to express your trust in God. In the God who gave His only begotten Son, that He would come to this earth, He would live a life perfect without sin, and then go to that cross and die that terrible death upon the cross, that we might have the forgiveness of our sins, that we might go to heaven when we die. And maybe this morning, you realize you're outside of that relationship. This morning, if you'll come, give me your hand, give Jesus your heart, we can take you this very hour, we can baptize you into Christ. You can be born again into God's family. Or you've done that in times past, you've turned away from serving God, then you need to make a change. If you need to come this morning and ask Him for prayers from the church here, for your strength, for your forgiveness, for your help, let us know how we can help you. While we stand and sing,